golly, it might come mind your manners.
Yes, boys and girls, it's time to mind your manners with Alan Ludden and his panel of typical teenagers. From the studios of WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut, the National Broadcasting Company presents a teenage discussion session for boys and girls from 8 to 18. Adults are invited to sit in on the meeting, too, so gather round, because here he comes, the man who conducts the meeting, the man who makes manners fun, Alan Ludden.
Thank you, Ed Anderson. Hello there, boys and girls. We're all set here in the studio with a fine audience full of eager boys and girls, a batch of real problems that you sent in, and our panel of typical teenagers. So without any further ado, I'd like to have you meet your panel, and as usual, they will introduce themselves.
E.J. Kilday, 17 years old, high school graduate.
Vanda Thompson, 18 years old, high school graduate.
Kevin O'Brien, 17 years old, high school senior.
Betty Ann Kelly, 17 years old, high school graduate.
Fred Smith, 16 years old, high school senior.
And as our authority from the younger set, we have our old friend...
Ellen Lee, 12 years old, 6th grade.
Well, panel, this past week we heard from a lot of your friends all over the country, and they sent you some very interesting problems. And we're sending to the five boys and girls whose letters were selected for discussion $5 in savings stamps. And the grand prize winner gets a $25 security bond. So let's see what our problems are today. First letter that was chosen came from a young lady who lives in Iola, Kansas. And she will receive $5 in savings stamps for submitting this problem.
My girlfriend and I are both 16 years old, and we finish high school next year. We both plan to enter nurse's training, but we also have a burning desire to see the United States. We would like to tour the country after we finish high school and before we go to a school of nursing. You see, we could earn money for the trip since we both have had experience as waitresses. Our families are trying to convince us that it would be better to postpone our proposed cross-country journey until after we have completed our training as nurses. What does your panel recommend?
All right, panel, what do you think? Betty Ann Kelly.
Well, as much as we girls hate to admit it, there are certain things that most girls just shouldn't do. And in my opinion, 16 is too young to go traipsing around the country, particularly with one other girl. You have to surmount a lot of public opinion and... Well, I think the journey's just too hard on you.
And they're too young at 16.
Yes, I think they are.
So your recommendation is that they go first to nurse's training, right?
That's right. And then if they still want to do it, go later.
Fine. Vanda, what do you think?
Oh, Betty Ann, you're right there. And I hope they don't think that we're a bunch of stuffed shirts. We're really trying to make them realize that they should wait until they're, well, say 21 or so. Then it's really better for them there because they'll have lost some of their independence they have. And at that time, they may be able to join the nurses' training and tour the country then.
Fine. What do you think about it, Emmett O'Brien?
Well, morals haven't changed since they were in the old days. So people call us old-fashioned, but we're really not. And it's hard enough for boys going around the country. And girls, I don't think, could be able to do it.
In other words, you think the girl should be a little old-fashioned about that sort
yes.
of thing. Fine. E.J., what do you think about it?
Well, I think it's fine that these girls are thinking of going on this trip, but at 16, I don't think anyone, male or female, is capable of making it. I think they haven't had such experience and will be at a loss without a chaperone.
Fine. You suggest that if they go, they by all means have a chaperone.
Yes.
And what do you mean they're capable of making it? You mean they...
I don't think they'll know what to do, where to go, or how to do it.
And, you know, they might be so lost they won't have a very good time.
That's right.
Fred Smith, what do you think about it?
I agree with E.J. on that. I do think that it's a fine ambition to want to travel all over the country, but I also think that they are too young and should wait till after they have gone through the nursing school.
You know, I've got an idea for these young ladies. You know, if they get to be nurses, they could join the Army Nurses Corps, and then they could travel all over the world, and they might find a lot more exciting experiences in store for them there, and it would fit in more with the, shall we say, as Emmett suggested, the propriety of our present society. How about that, E.J.? My words are about as big as yours.
Oh, wonderful.
All right, before we go on to our second discussion today, I'd like to invite all you boys and girls who joined us for the first time to drop us a note and let us know you've joined our meeting. Believe me, we're very interested in hearing from you and knowing what your problems are. If you write to us, we'll be able to talk about the things that interest you the most, and that's the whole idea of our program. Well, now let's get on to the second question that was selected for discussion today. It was sent in by David Kahn in Louisville, Kentucky, and here is what David asked.
I live in a community in which the use of fireworks is prohibited. Well, we have some fireworks left over from last year, and I don't see why we can't use them. You see, the policeman in town recently shot some right off in the city hall, so I think that gives us kids plenty of right to do it.
Well, 4th of July is just about here, and there are a lot of boys and girls with firecrackers left over from last year. Let's talk about it. What do you think about it, Ellen Lee?
Well, just because the policeman shot them off doesn't mean that you have to go ahead and break any laws. And you can also have plenty of fun on the 4th of July without shooting off those firecrackers. And if it's such a terrible thing that you have to shoot them off, you can go up into the country in some secluded little spot and shoot them off there without bothering anybody.
Ellen Lee, what though if there is a chance for forest fire up there in that little secluded spot
in
the country?
I think that if you go up there, or you should be supervised by someone older than yourself.
In other words, it's fun to shoot firecrackers, maybe, but there are other things that are just as much fun and a lot safer.
Yes.
Let's talk about this some more. Fred Smith, you're an Eagle Scout. Do the Scouts have any rules about obeying the laws of the country?
Well, laws for the protection of the people, and therefore they shouldn't be broken at any time. And I think that we should remember to respect the other people's feelings. And I'd like to remind this fellow that two wrongs don't make a right.
Fine. If the policeman did it, perhaps there was a different situation involved he doesn't know about. All right. E.J., what do you think about this?
Well, no matter how many laws they're going to make, the kids are still going to shoot off these fireworks. But if
Think so? You like to shoot them off yourself, I understand.
No, I don't care to myself. I just can't be blowing my money like that.
But there are a lot of boys and girls who like to blow their money around on July 4th.
Yes, but if they ever thought of the number of accidents anticipated, they wouldn't even look at these fireworks. These smart guys are the ones that killed everybody by causing these accidents.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Gilday. But you know, it's really appalling the number of boys and girls who are going to be hurt this next week just because they're careless with fireworks. Betty Ann, what do you say?
Well, if you really like firecrackers, you can go to these demonstrations. Every place has them that doesn't let you blow them yourself. And as far as 4th of July goes, it should be more of a flag-waving time, and why don't you stick to that?
Fine. You don't make much noise when you wave flags, but you can inspire a lot of people think about what the day really means, can't you?
Yes.
But Fred, one more word.
I'd like to remind this fellow that the 4th won't be a happy one if you're not around on the 5th.
That's fine. That's a good slogan. As a matter of fact, I think the National Safety Council suggests that as a good one for the 4th. Now, this week, we've gone back to our custom of turning part of these weekly meetings over to problems that have been submitted by adults. Today, we're going to consider a serious one sent to us by a group of mothers in Hamden, Massachusetts. They had a meeting and decided that perhaps you, panel, could advise them wisely, and so they present this situation for your discussion. Here's part of their letter. All of our children have chores to do every day, but regardless of the fact that they know they're scheduled, they either wait until the last minute to do those jobs, or we mothers have to hound them all day until they are done. Now, does the panel think that it is better for us to make the children do their chores, or should we just give up, do the jobs ourselves, and hope that someday the children will learn to accept responsibilities for their assigned work? Well, panel, what do you think? Vanda Thompson.
By all means, parents, don't give up. Let the kids do it. They'll, may take a little while doing it, but I think they'll really do it the last minute. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, parents said they'd do it the last minute. But isn't that better than not doing it at all? And perhaps you could teach these children early in life that you have to give them responsibility at an early age, say 4 or 5, and then they'll really be responsible at this age that they are at now, and they won't be so flippant about it.
Well, and Lee, you're younger. What do you think about it? Do you think 12-year-old is too young to start having some responsibility?
Oh, no. If you don't start responsibility early, you won't learn it later.
Fine. And you think that the mothers and fathers should let their children have jobs to do and then and expect them to do it?
Yes, I do.
What do you think, Betty Ann, about this business, though, of making the child do it? Now, that's awfully hard on these parents, you know that?
Well, I think it's awfully hard, but it's worth it. You're not doing a child any favor by spoiling him, and he'll find the effects of it. When he gets older in college, he won't know how to act, and he won't know how to take care of his clothes and his things. You ought to teach him some responsibility when he's young, and he'll be a responsible teenager.
Well, in other words, how do you teach them that sort of thing, Emmett O'Brien?
Well, I think you should put them on a schedule, because as you grow older, you'll need a schedule of life. And when you're working, you'll have to be on a schedule, and it'll be very helpful.
In other words, it never hurts to start young.
No, it doesn't.
All right, Fred Smith, what do you have to add to this? These mothers up in Hamden, Massachusetts, now, they really need your advice. What should they do?
Well, I think the parent is actually obligated to the children to help them develop this responsibility. This responsibility they will need in later life, and I think that the children will thank them for it later.
Fine. Although they may fuss about it a little bit now, if they are taught the responsibility of doing a job and getting it done on time, then they'll appreciate it later. All right? You know, as we close the adult discussion period of today's meeting, I would like to say to all of our adult listeners that we are sincerely interested in hearing your ideas for subjects suited to this part of our meeting. If you have a problem that you would like to hear discussed by this panel of typical teenagers, won't you drop us a line and let us know what it is? We appreciate your letters, and they all receive our fullest attention. We have no prizes for the adults, but for all you boys and girls, we do have prizes. And here is your friend Ed Anderson to tell you all about them.
Yes, boys and girls, if you have a question about social behavior at home, at school, or at parties, send it in to Mind Your Manners, and you may win one of the fine prizes. Each week, we award a $25 security bond to the writer of the best stated and most interesting question. And for the five other questions selected for discussion, Mind Your Manners awards $5 in savings fare. All entries become the property of this program. In case of ties, duplicate prizes will be awarded. The decision of our judges is final. Contest closes at midnight on Wednesday of each week. Entries received after that date will be considered for the following week's contest. So, boys and girls, remember, Mind Your Manners is your show, and we want your problems. Send all entries to this address. Mind Your Manners, Department 4, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York 20, New York. Send your questions in today.
Now let's see who won $5 in savings stamps for sending us our third teenage problem to be submitted to our panel. It comes from Mercedes Richardson in Orlando, Florida. And this is what Mercedes asks.
My boyfriend smokes. He smokes on dates with me, at my house, and when we are out in public. I am not sure that it is good manners for him to do this. So my question is, when and where should teenagers smoke?
All right, now the question is, when and where should teenagers smoke, panel? What do you think about it, E.J. Kilday?
Well, Mr. Ludden, if these teenagers do smoke, I think they should smoke either in private or wherever it doesn't interfere and bother someone else.
Now, where would that be?
Well, I mean, they could ask in a party or something, do you mind, or something to that effect.
If, for instance, if they're around people who don't smoke particularly.
That's right, because it can be very annoying to some.
All right, Fred Smith, what's your idea?
I think that this fellow should remember the old story, Mind Your Manners, remember the feeling of others.
Ah, that's a plug for our, more or less, it's getting to be our motto, it looks like. Betty Ann, what's your idea?
And you can always obey the no smoking signs.
Well, in other words, it's very bad manners for anybody to smoke where the signs say no smoking. They're usually there for very good reasons, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Vanda, what word do you have to these teenage boys who smoke and don't exactly know how to they want to smoke, but they're not sure it's right, and after this meeting, I'm sure they're going to wonder even more, so let's put the words into a teenage boy who smokes, his parents approve of it, and he is out on a date with a girl for the first time who doesn't smoke. What should he do?
Ask her if she minds if he smokes.
Or
if he's gone to her home to pick her up and he sees an ashtray, well, then he can ask the parents there if they mind if he smokes. Or if they don't see an ashtray, don't smoke.
That's a good idea. Emmett, do you have any rules for boys who smoke? If you walk into a girl's house, you've never been there before, and you're waiting for her to come down, and girls usually are late, I guess, although we don't recommend it in this program, and you're sitting there, and you don't see any ashtrays in the living room, should that boy smoke?
No, he shouldn't. And if there are ashtrays, it's an old custom that was started a long time ago to ask a woman, because women didn't smoke in the old days.
To ask her if she minds. Fine,
yeah.
That's a good idea, and I hope a lot of our teenage boys who smoke have learned some of our pointers. Of course, we, as I say, do not recommend smoking, but for those who do, there is their problem. Now let's hear from our studio audience. How about it, audience? Are you ready for your right-wrong quiz?
Yeah!
Fine. Now, the rules of your quiz are very simple. Eddie Robbins will make a statement about some fine point of manners. That statement can be right or wrong, and it's up to you to decide which one it is. Then hold up your hands, and Ed Anderson will pick one of you to speak up for the audience. If you tell us correctly whether the statement was right or wrong, the audience gets 20 points. You know, last week our audience made 100, so let's see how well you can do today. Get ready now, because here is Eddie Robbins with the first right-wrong statement.
When children answer the telephone and the call is for someone else in the family, it is proper and very good manners to ask who is calling.
All right. Now, what about that? All of you who answer the telephone, what do you think about it, young lady?
No, that's wrong. They shouldn't ask who it is.
You should not ask who is calling? I'm afraid you missed that. It's perfectly all right to say, may I ask who is calling, or can I tell mother who is calling? It is not improper to do it if you do it gracefully and graciously. As a matter of fact, it's much better for everybody concerned if you do it. Well, I'm sorry you missed that, but here's a little gift for you, and thank you a lot. Here's your second one.
A knife is to be used at the dinner table for cutting, for spreading bread, and to assist in eating peas.
All right, how do you use a knife at a dinner table? Let's see. Here's a young lady. What do you think? Oh, the microphone scared her. What do you think?
Well, you shouldn't use your knife to, for peas.
No, you shouldn't. So that statement is wrong. That's 20 points. It's perfectly all right to use a knife for only two things at the table. To spread bread and to assist and to cut your meat, and that's in your food. But what about using your knife to help push food onto the fork?
That's improper.
That's improper, too. All right, here's a little gift for you. That's 20 points to the audience. Now everybody knows how to use the knife. All right, here's the third one.
When going from the table to the dance floor in a restaurant or nightclub, the girl should always precede the man.
In a restaurant or a nightclub. Here's something for the young ladies. Let's pick a teenage young lady, and there she is. What do you
think? I think that's right.
You think that's right, and you're so right. That's right. The young lady should always precede the man in a nightclub or a restaurant when preceding or when... too many proceeds there when going to the dance floor. That's 40 points for the audience and a little gift for you. Thank you very much.
A gentleman does not need to remove his hat in a hotel lobby.
A gentleman, let's hear from a young man here, Eddie. A gentleman does not need to remove his hat. What do you think about it?
Well, I think it'd be perfectly proper for him to remove his hat in a hotel lobby, but I'm not sure whether he should or not. I mean, I think it'd be perfectly proper for him.
It never is wrong to do it, but the question is, does he have to from the point of manners?
I don't think he would have to.
I'm going
to
give you a right, because he doesn't have to. Thank you very much. What's your name, incidentally?
John Mowbray.
John, glad to have you here. Here's a little gift for you. Thank you a lot.
When finger bowls are served at dinner parties, the proper thing to do is to dip a corner of the napkin in the water, wipe the face and hands, and use the dry portion of the napkin to remove the dampness.
All right. What about finger bowls? What's the right thing to do? What do you think about it, young lady?
I don't think that's right.
You're so right, that's wrong. You do not dip the napkin in the finger bowl. You dip your fingers in the finger bowl. You dry your hands on the napkin. What's your name?
Joan Nolan.
Joan, thank you very much. Here's a little gift for you. Glad you're here. All right, audience, your score was 80. That's pretty good. I hope you had a good time. I did, and you're all invited to come back next week. And now it's the panel's turn again, and they are faced with a problem sent to them by a young man in Fort Scott, Kansas. He wants to know what you will say in regard to this problem, panel.
I am a farm boy, 14 years old. I always help with the harvesting, but during the summer there is a lot of time and I have nothing to do. I would like to help the neighbors with some work, but my father does not want me to do it. Well, mother approves, but I hate to go ahead and work against my father's wishes. What does your panel suggest?
Ellen Lee, what do you think about this problem?
Well, don't go against your father's wishes. You'll always find something to. There will be plenty of work to do around the house, and then there'll be plenty of fun in it during the summer for you also.
All right. In other words, you say that he stay at home and do as his father wishes.
Yes.
All right. Now, what do you think about it, Emmett O'Brien?
Well, why don't you sit down with your mother and father and discuss about this question? And also, if you can't find anything to do, why don't you take out a few books and start reading? Because remember, readers make us the fullest man.
Oh, we got it. Well, we got it. What do you
Francis Bacon.
Oh, well, that's pretty good. We got a new saying member here, Vanda. Vanda usually gives us our sayings. Betty Ann Kelly, what do you think about it?
I agree with Emmett. You should never work if your father disapproves of it. But why don't you find out your father's reason for his disapproval, and I think you'll come to some sort of understanding.
I see. How would they do that, though, Fred Smith? How would he find out his father's reason?
Well, he should just talk it over with his parents. And I'd like to ask one more thing. Since when has there been nothing to do on a farm?
Well, he wants to go out perhaps and earn some money. Now, is that a bad idea, E.J.?
Well, no, unless the other fellows come over to his farm and want another job in return. Of course, he can ask his father what's to be done and what's not to be done, and then ask him why not.
I see.
That's the only thing left to do.
In other words, to sit down and talk it out, find out the reasons, and by all means, though, do not go against one of the parents' wishes in a case like this. There must be a very good reason for it. Well, I hope that helps out the young man, and I hope he learns to read it, because that maketh the fullest man. Is that right, Emmett?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, it did pretty well with all those fifths there. All right. Before we go on to our fifth problem, I'd like to pause a moment and invite all of you boys and girls who are listening in right now to drop us a line. If you have any sort of problem about social behavior that you would like to hear the panel discuss, send it along to Mind Your Manners. Fred will give you our address again at the close of the meeting. Remember, if your question is selected for discussion, you'll receive one of our fine prizes, just like Gary Anderson in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Gary wins $5 in savings stamps for sending us this problem for the consideration of our family.
While attending a picnic with my mother and two of her lady friends, one of my school teachers came up to our table and talked a few seconds. Should I have introduced my mother to the teacher and let her introduce her friends? Or was it my duty to introduce everybody at the table to my teacher?
All right, E.J. Kildee, we've got a problem of introductions here. What do you have to say?
Well, if he knew everyone at the table by name, well, he could introduce everyone. But if he didn't know everyone's name, well, introduce the teacher to the mother and let the mother carry the ball from there on.
All right, what if the mother, though, didn't carry the ball? Say if the mother neglected or forgot, as some people often do, should he then have allowed the teacher to stand there and talk to him without the other people at the table knowing? Betty Ann Kelly.
No, you should always try or make an attempt to introduce them all and, or perhaps remind your mother, because it's never good to let one person stand there and not know who to talk to.
I'm Fred Smith.
Making introductions should be a habit. And people shouldn't make so much fuss about them. There's really nothing to it.
All right, there's nothing to making introductions, Vanda. Let's talk about that.
Well, to be able to introduce is a milestone to social success.
Oh, Vanda came right back with a success. Did you make that up?
Yes.
I thought you did. All right, now this business of introductions, though, is one of our primary manners problems, and as Fred has suggested, if you learn how to do it, it's going to make everybody happier. Let's talk about this business of the strangers walking up to a group and standing there talking to one person and not knowing the other people. Panel, is that ever a good thing to allow to happen, Emmett?
No, it isn't. They do it in the North, but in the South they don't. Everybody is introduced, and they're very friendly, but... In the North, they don't.
In the North, they don't sometimes, and we don't think it's a good idea. We think that you should always make sure that everybody in the group knows everybody else, and it's part of gracious manners, and thank you a lot. Now, here we come to the high point of the meeting, the grand prize question of the week. This week, the judges decided that the best stated and most interesting letter sent into Mind Your Manners was written by Juanita Childers in Louisburg, North Carolina. Our congratulations to Juanita. We're sending her a $25 security bond, and the panel is all set to talk about her problem. So, panel, your very best attention is invited to the grand prize question of the week.
I am the daughter of a minister, and I have a problem that is shared by many ministers' families, I'm sure. Often I am invited by my friends to go places and to do things that I personally think are all right. And, may I add, I am old enough to know right from wrong. I usually refuse to go with my friends, however, because I feel that I must watch my actions very carefully. You see, I am worried about what people will think if they see a minister's daughter having too good a time in public. What does your panel think of my cautious behavior?
All right, panel, what do you think about it, Emmett O'Brien?
Well, I don't think there's any law in any of the rule books that says you can't have fun just because you're a minister's daughter, as long as you don't become boisterous and too conspicuous in public.
Fine. Betty Ann Kelly?
I think everyone has the obligation to act in a certain way. They shouldn't be boisterous, and they should be modest, and they should just act nice. And this applies to Juanita as well as anyone else, and I don't think she has too much of a problem there.
All right. What do you think about it, Ellen Lee? What do you think about ministers' daughters and ministers' sons? Do they have to act different than other boys and girls?
No, they can have just as much fun as anyone else without overdoing it.
All right, what do you mean by overdoing it? Vanda, let's talk about Ellen's statement of overdoing having fun. When do you overdo having fun?
Oh, going to a picnic and you sort of get out of hand and start throwing balls all around the beach and at people and running through their picnic tables and things like that. Sometimes we're doing it.
Sometimes some very nice boys and girls just get a little excited on picnics.
That's the trouble.
Well, this is picnic time. Let's talk about manners on picnics. I think, actually, this is one of Juanita's problems. Juanita, say, is going to a picnic out in the public park with some very nice boys and girls, but she's afraid that they're going to get just a little too enthusiastic, and perhaps then she'd better not go with them because she wouldn't want to embarrass her father in his position. Now, what about that, E.J. Kildee?
Well, that's all right. If she can either go and go with someone that's a little calmer and go off to the side there. But, you know, to this girl, I think it's wonderful that some girls will watch their activities like this. But if anyone acts like a ladies and like a lady and gentleman, they won't have to watch their actions.
All right, and if she's a lady and all the way through, then she will never be worried.
That's right.
Betty Ann?
Well, I'd like to say that as much as we think it might not be, Juanita really has a problem due to public opinion because many people will try to pick on her and find out things that she's doing. So she really has an added responsibility to retain her father's reputation as well as her own.
Well, do you think, though, that ministers' daughters and ministers' sons should be expected to behave any differently than any other well-mannered young man or woman?
No, they shouldn't. In reality, they shouldn't.
Yeah, actually, they shouldn't, but you think sometimes they do. Fred, yes. What do you think?
I disagree with Betty Ann. I don't think that there is any great problem. Why should there be a separate set of morals for a minister's daughter or son?
There isn't, but I'm just saying that due to public opinion, there are people who will think that there should be a certain set. And I disagree with them heartily, but there isn't too much you can do about it.
Well, then, let's talk to the people who have the wrong idea. They should
expect... They ought to get the right idea.
Yeah, they should expect no more from the minister's daughters or sons, Fred.
Why shouldn't she go out and have fun?
She should.
Okay. All right, we all agree she should go out and have fun, but in having fun, she should remember, and the boys and girls she's out with should remember that they should never, in any case, get so enthusiastic that they interfere with other people's fun. And now let's open up the answer box to find the answers to those questions that have been sent in, but that were not selected for discussion here with our panel. Today, the first question to come from the answer box is...
From a girl in Houston, Texas. We have a small house, and when my family has company, I don't know how to get my homework or my piano practicing done. Is it all right to go ahead and study and practice the piano with company in the house?
Well, if the guests are not yours, it's perfectly proper to excuse yourself, explain that you must do your homework, and proceed to study as quietly as possible. But as for practicing the piano, well, the chances are that you will have to wait until the company leaves. Remember, the basic rule of good manners is consideration for others, and if your piano playing would bother the other people there in the house, then it's out.
From a young man in Tampa, Florida, it is quite embarrassing for me when I stop to talk with a group of kids at school, and I only know a few of them, and they do not introduce me to the others. Could I just go ahead and introduce myself in a case like that?
Well, here's something we've discussed at this meeting, and the answer to that question is you certainly should introduce yourself. It is always proper, it's very bad manners, not to introduce yourself to strangers, and we've discussed that at the meeting, and I hope we're all set with it.
From a 14-year-old girl in Ellis, Kansas, am I too young to wear lipstick and earrings when I go out on special parties?
Well, our fashion authorities suggest that you wait a few years before you start wearing earrings, but they say that on special evenings, light-colored lipstick applied with a light touch should be fine for a girl your age.
From a girl in New York City, is it still the rule that a boy should walk on the curb side of the sidewalk when he is with a girl, even on busy streets?
Yes, it is. It is a custom that is still accepted, and there is really no reason for changing it. Boys should walk on the curb side, and there it goes. The top just pops back on our answer box, and it's just about time to adjourn today's meeting. But before we do, let's hear from our panel one more time.
This is Vanda Thompson with an invitation to the adults to send us their ideas for our adult discussion period.
This is E.J. Kilday. If any one of you fellas have problems, send them along to us here at Mind Your Manners. We like to consider some real men's problems at this meeting, too.
This is Betty Ann Kelly inviting all the boys and girls who joined our audience for the first time today to write us a special note so that we can get acquainted.
This is Emmett O'Brien. Remember, this program is for all boys and girls from 8 to 18. And we depend on you to give us our discussion subject.
And that means you boys and girls who are younger than teenage are in on this show, too. Oh, yes. This is Ellen Lee.
And this is Fred Smith with our address. Ready? Here it is. Mind Your Manners, Department 4, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York 20, New York.
Well, it was another good meeting panel, and right now we're all looking forward to our next one. Incidentally, I'd like to invite every one of you who's listening to be on time. I'll be calling Mind Your Manners to order at this same time next week, and you're all invited. So have a wonderful week, and drop us a line, won't you? This is Alan Ludden saying goodbye now.
Boys and girls, this is your show. So if you have a problem about social behavior, either at home, at school, or at parties, send it in to Mind Your Manners. You may win one of those six prizes. Remember, the best question receives a $25 savings bond. Mind Your Manners is written and conducted by that man who makes manners fun, Alan Ludden. He'll be back with his panel of typical teenagers next week at the same time. This is Ed Anderson saying we hope to see you then. And in the meantime, remember...
By golly, it is smart to mind your manners.
Mind Your Manners has come to you from the studios of WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.